Oh, you guys sound amazing. And you look good too for the early morning. Nice job. We had an amazing night last night with 9 people getting baptized. And, you know, I just can't say it enough. We cannot take for granted the changed lives that we get to witness in this ministry. Every single week, we see people come to Christ in every single service. I think I can remember only a couple of times over the years that we've had one service where someone didn't come to know Christ as their Savior. And that is just not normal. And it's not a competition. We should be praying for our other ministries. We should be, you know, lifting up other churches. But it's a sad state of affairs in America when the average church today, evangelical Christian church, is 89 members and sees one conversion every 3 years. And the problem is you've got to preach the gospel for people to be transformed. You've got to tell people the plan of salvation. And that is the central focus of this ministry. And as we celebrate baptism this weekend, these are people who have made the decision to trust in Christ. And now they're saying, I want to follow Christ. I want to make him the supreme focus of my life. And that is a different decision altogether. When that is confused with salvation, then you put works with the cross, and you can't do that. And I'll talk about that in a moment, but accepting the free gift of salvation and recognizing Jesus as your Savior is a birth. It happens one time in your life. Following Christ, that is a day-to-day challenge to make him Lord of every area of your life. And if you're like me as a Christian, you struggle with that moment by moment. And that's just the world we live in, the flesh that we're wrapped in, and the enemy that attacks constantly. And real honestly, this is the service at Grace. This is our old guard, our crew. So often the heartbeat that keeps the ministry rolling, where the other 3 services, we see many, many more people come to know Christ. I don't know if you guys just can't get your lost friends out of bed to be here with you. But I want to encourage you over the course of the next few months to really begin inviting those who don't know Jesus to this service. It's an opportunity. We don't always have parking and seating in the other services, but we do here. And so I would encourage you to do that, because this is what it's all about. If we're not rescuing people from hell, what are we doing? If we're not reaching out to the lost, if we're just stroking the egos of Christians and making it more comfortable, we are wasting time, because we need to be making heaven a more crowded place. And, you know, when you come to Grace, you find out what you believe and how to live it. We've been in the middle of a very controversial sermon series. We've had in 5 weeks about 40,000 views. You know, if you combine it all, we've had lots of people come, and I've had lots of wonderful love letters sent to me over the course of the last 5 weeks. And last week I came out and I showed you a uniform of a military soldier who left it here with a note. And I said, hey, if you know who this is, or if you're this person, please give me a call. I'd love to talk to you. We respect our soldiers. We respect their families. We love you and thank you for your service. To all of you watching, to everybody here, you won't find a ministry that's more devoted to our men and women of uniform. And yet, he felt, you know, attacked because I said love no matter what, and that love should always be our primary focus. Well, he called. And I had a chance to talk with him yesterday for about 30, 35 minutes. And, you know, he just needed to get some things off his chest. And he needed to hear me say, man, I love you and I respect you and I thank God for you. And Jim and I talked about that. We wanted to make sure that he was aware, and Jason, and he was. And so it was a really good conversation. I said, please come back. You know, please come back. I said, I think in some ways you misunderstood a few statements. You know what ends up happening is you hear something and you don't hear the explanation, because you hear one statement and you go, oh, now I'm mad. I can't believe he said this. I can't believe this was the statement. And we even determine a hypothesis based on one statement. This is why we struggle in the American culture, because when we're talking to each other, we're not really listening. We're thinking about what we're going to say next. We're putting together our controversial response. And that's the exact opposite. God says, no, think about what the person is saying. Think on it before you respond. Be slow to respond. And so we had a great conversation, was able to let him know how loved he was. And I just wanted you guys to be aware of that. You prayed and God answered the prayer. There's no threat on the ministry or us or anything like that. And most importantly, there's no threat on himself. So that was good. You know, today as we talk about baptism, I love baptism. When things get just overwhelming, and they do often, in a ministry that has 52 local and global ministries, I don't know if that ever registers with you, but it's our responsibility as elders and as a staff of 50 locally and globally to oversee. Think about the weekends. The weekends are 1/52nd of what we do. This is just a portion, just a small portion. And so while we're investing through the week, while you're going to work or you're going to school and you're taking the time to support your families and live life that can sometimes be difficult, and you come on the weekends hopefully to get a charge of truth and challenged and encouraged, we're going to battle every day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And this is just a portion of it. And one of the greatest things, when it just gets overwhelming, and it does often, I like to watch a baptism. Sometimes I'll go back and watch the baptisms of the past. And by the way, I would encourage you to watch the baptisms last night and watch the next two services. You can see them online. Go to live stream, go to the Grace mobile app, go to Facebook and watch the baptisms of last night. Hear the stories, watch the transformation. It is mind-blowing and it's so inspiring. And I love baptism. I remember we haven't just baptized people in this ministry, but over the last almost 31 years, this March 12th, we baptized over 8,000 people. Now, when you baptize, well, you know, it's an awesome reality to baptize 8,000 people. It's about 200 a year. In the last 5 years, we've averaged over 350 people that have been baptized and over 1,000 decisions for Christ. But what you see is on any given Sunday or Saturday, you might see, with all the kids and everybody, 2,000 to 3,000 people on a weekend. You might see online and see 3,000 to 4,000 people watching. Where are the 8,000? Well, when you come to know Christ, that's a decision that impacts your eternity. You're going to heaven. That's sealed. That's done. But living a life for the sake of God's purposes isn't easy. And so that's where we talk about the road to righteousness is narrow and it's difficult. And so the goal is to help people get connected so that they're supported through a ministry that cares about everything in their lives. And I'll talk about that as they get closer to baptism. Well, I love watching baptisms. We've baptized, I've personally had the privilege of overseeing about 500 baptisms in the 22 years in Peru. And I'll never forget the first baptism. Pastor Jim, Pastor Dan, and I went to the jungle. We were there for almost a month. During that time, we were living in a village with these people, a village that, Wes Porter and I have gone to with other teams over the last couple of years and taught. And so we're there. And, you know, it was a lot different than it is now. It's been modernized a little bit. But it was really back in the woods, if you will. And so we went back, took 3 days to get in the jungle. And during this time, they were in drought. And we were supposed to float on two peki-pekis, two large canoes, down the river at the end of our 3 weeks. And the river was just dropping daily. So it was looking less and less like we were going to get home. And on the last couple of days that we were there, it was just drying up. And I'll never forget, when we got to the village the very first day, we're walking around, kind of going on a little safari. I'm anxious to just explore the jungle. It was a lifelong dream. And Jim and Dan, not so much about the exploration, but they went. Kudos to them. And so we're walking around the village, and we go out to the outskirts, and there's this lagoon. I just want you to picture. Ever see the old Creature from the Black Lagoon? Just picture a lagoon like that. And there's palm trees in it, and you're just, I go, man, there's got to be snakes and caiman and all this and anaconda, you know, and And Jim says, you know, you couldn't pay me enough money to get in that lagoon. Well, on the last 2 days that we were there, about 30 Shawi came to know Jesus as their Savior, and they asked if we would baptize them. And the river was too low. And so they said, oh, don't worry, we have a lagoon. So we go back to the lagoon, and it was kind of funny because we're walking in. Pastor Paul Johnson's preaching on the hillside. So you have all these Shawi up on the hillside, about 200 or so. Paul's preaching. We walk into the water. All of us are kind of like, you know, what was that? We get in the water. It's up to our waist. Jim's about a foot away. Dan's about a foot away from him. And I'm just waiting for something to burst out of that dark, murky water. And I look to the side, and about this big, it looks like the head of an anaconda. And I'm like, oh, whoa. And I love snakes, you know, but I didn't want to wrestle one in the middle of a baptism. It's a piece of wood floating like this. And so I thought, whoa, that really looks like a snake. So Paul's preaching. I take it and I submerge it. I'm holding my hand. I lean over Jim. He's like, yeah, I saw an anaconda. He's like, are you kidding me? And I let go of it. And he's looking down, and it just pops above the surface. He's like, oh, God, he almost falls over. Well, Dan can't hear. You know, he's standing there. And I grab the wood again. I put it back down, and Jim and I look over, and I go, Dan, there's an anaconda in the water. He's like, are you kidding? I let go. I let it deeper, and it just pops. I mean, it literally came out of the water a little bit, and he screams. And so this is the spiritual mindset of your pastor's. While we're baptizing people in the Amazon, I'm just cracking up. I'm sure the Shawi thought we've lost our mind, but it was an amazing experience. And over the years, we have baptized many. I baptized Wes Porter in the Amazon a couple of years ago. And I don't care where you baptize somebody, whether it's the Jordan River, the Amazon River, or here. And don't worry, there's no anacondas, nothing in our tubs. You know, it's clean and heated. But guys, no matter where it's at, people are making the decision to follow Christ. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul makes it clear that our mission is about leading people to Jesus. Paul even took a stand. It's kind of a standard for me in this ministry. My job is to preach and teach and lead and not necessarily baptize. That's why we have other pastors, and sometimes the family member baptizes or the person that led them to Jesus from another ministry. We believe that. It doesn't have to be a pastor. It doesn't have to be the pastor or anything like that. And Paul says this, for the anointed one has sent me on a mission not to see how many I could baptize, but to proclaim the good news. That's the word gospel. And I declare this message stripped of all philosophical arguments that empty the cross of its true power. For I trust in the all-sufficient cross of Christ alone. It's the cross of Christ that saves us. Baptism, you'll hear me say it every time we have one, baptism is an outward expression of an inward transformation that happened when a person admitted they were a sinner, admitted they could do nothing to save themselves, believed that Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, perfect and holy, died for all of their sins, not some of them, all of them, and rose again 3 days later. And when they believe that he did that for them and they say, Lord, I believe, I confess I'm a sinner, I believe you saved me, and I trust in you, they are born again. They are a Christian. They are going to heaven. The Bible says God takes hold of them and he'll never let go of them. John 10:28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they will never perish, neither will anyone pluck them from my hand. Religion says when you believe in Jesus, you take hold of him, and then if you mess up and you fall, you got to repent again. First of all, it's the wrong definition of repentance. There's no definition of repentance anywhere in the Bible that means to change your life. Repentance means metanoia, the Greek word means to change your mind. So when your mind is changed, then God changes your life. If I could change my life, I don't need Jesus to die for me. If I could be walking 100, you know, towards sin and living sinful, and I could turn 180 degrees and walk the other direction and meet Jesus somewhere on the path, he died in vain. But he didn't. He died for all of our sins. So when a person trusts in him, he gives them eternal life as a gift. What do you have to do to earn a gift? Nothing. Can you do anything to keep the gift? No. You accept it by grace and you're going to heaven. So what is the significance of baptism? Well, I'd love for you to see this. You can write it down in your notes. If you're here visiting, we always like to give you God's word to take with you so you know we're not making this stuff up. First of all, baptism signifies a blameless Christ-like identity. A blameless Christ-like identity. You know, it's critical that we remember we get a new identity. And when you get baptized, you are coming out of the water to say, I'm going to walk in that new identity. You see, before you were saved, you could only sin. You're like, wait, I know lots of good atheists. I know a lot of people who aren't religious who are really good people. No, you don't. The Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So even if they're the kindest, most generous, most humble atheists or agnostics or non-believers, they are sinful. And everything they do, just like everything I did, was for themselves, for the praise of other people, for this system in the world. It wasn't for God. You have to be transformed. Look at Colossians 3. Your crucifixion with Christ has severed the tie to this life. And now your true life is hidden away in God, in Christ. And as Christ himself is seen for who he really is, who you really are will also be revealed. For you are now one with him in glory. Let me explain it this way. Let's just say when we're born sinful. We're blotchy. Okay, we are sinful to the core. And the Bible says that when you come to know Jesus, let's pretend this envelope, this pure envelope, is Jesus. When you become a Christian, you trust in Jesus, what happens is he says the moment you believe, you are in Christ. So when God sees you, he sees Christ. You are covered in his righteousness. You say, but wait, Christians sin. Yes, they do. But it was paid for at the cross. Even the sins of the future. Because how many of your sins were in the future 2,000 years ago? All of them. Except for Pastor Jim, who maybe had a few before that. All of them. Just kidding. So here's the deal. You and I were sinners, and Jesus died for all of those sins. Okay? And he says, the moment you believe, you are in Christ. You know, I love this because when I was a kid, we grew up, we were poor. We had it, you know, it was a little bit rough. And my dad worked hard. My mom stayed home. That was their commitment. And so we went through some tough times. And then when I was 10, my parents decided that they were going to become foster parents. And they started caring for girls between the ages of 13 and 17. As a matter of fact, the first year they were in charge of a receiving home and over 600 girls came through in a year. During the 22 years they did this, over 2,400 girls lived with us. So I'll never forget when my parents took over, the one thing they knew, they didn't have an education in social studies or social work or human resources. What they did have a master's in was loving people. And the moment they took over the foster home, they loved those girls as if their last name was Long. As a matter of fact, my dad actually apologized to me in my 20s. He's like, son, I'm really sorry because I know you and your brother, in some ways, we probably, you know, ignored you somewhat because we were so busy caring for 13, 14 girls at a time in the house. I go, Dad, first of all, you guys are the most amazing parents on earth. Secondly, we didn't need coddled. I was just the kind of person that was like, gone all the time. And I said, finally, you and Mom were just amazing. We never felt like we missed anything. As a matter of fact, what I felt is I had a double dose of seeing what love truly was. And when those girls came into the home, my parents treated them like they were my sisters. It didn't matter what color, what religious persuasion, didn't matter what had happened to them, what they were involved in. I mean, I lived with prostitutes and drug addicts, girls with same-sex orientation, girls who had been raped and molested, girls who, I mean, from every walk of life you could imagine. And you know what they had? When they walked in our home, they had a new identity. They were part of the Long family. And when you become a believer, you have a new identity. Your family is eternal. Write that down. You have a beautiful, eternal family. As a matter of fact, your spiritual family, my spiritual family, is going to outlast my biological family. No matter how long we live on this earth, we are eventually going to die. And when we do, our eternal destination will be sealed. Heaven or hell, depending on what you did with Jesus. And you will spend eternity, if you're a Christian, in heaven with an eternal family. Hopefully your biological family knows Jesus and that will include them. But when we get to heaven, we will have one name, the name of Jesus. Ephesians 2 says, so you are not foreigners or guests, but rather you are the children of the city of the holy ones with all the rights as family members of the household of God. My parents said to these girls, and there were all kinds of rules and regulations from the government, but my parents said, you're part of our family. And we ate at one table. We had a fold down lunchroom table. You know, the ones you have in school, plus another table at the end of it. That we ate dinner together. We did everything together. We went out together. They'd get a small portion of money to do entertainment or hobbies. We'd go to the movies. We'd go skating. That's what we did. It was the 70s, okay? And so that was what we did. And they had a brand new identity and a beautiful eternal family. And finally, we get a brand new purpose. You know, when you understand you're part of the family of God, that baptism signifies that you have a new identity, you're one with Jesus, you have a brand new purpose. And I'm going to talk about those in a minute. But let me just share it from Ephesians chapter 1 real quick. Listen to what God says. Through our union with Christ, we too have been claimed by God as his own inheritance. Before we were even born, he gave us our destiny. He knew who was going to be saved. He knows who's going to come to him. But he allows everyone a free choice. That we would fulfill the plan of God who always accomplishes every purpose and plan in his heart. Circle purpose, circle plan. You know, God loves that we plan. As a matter of fact, he commands us to plan. And then like a loving father looking at a five-year-old who plans, he goes, good job, but I got this. Your plans are cute, Rick, but mine are perfect. It says, God's purpose was that we Jews, who were the first to long for the messianic hope, would be the first to believe in the anointed one and bring great praise and glory to God. And because of him, when you who are not Jews heard the revelation of truth, you believed in the wonderful news of salvation. Now we have been stamped with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. We receive all the inheritance, whether you're a Jew or a Gentile. You are all one in Jesus Christ. There's no male or female. There's no slave or master. There's nothing but one in Christ. Now, let me just say this. When those girls came into our home, they got a new identity. They got a new family. They got a new inheritance. I mean, my parents took care of them as if they were our own. I'll never forget my Christmas in 1980. My dad found out just a few months before Christmas that the Organization of Youth Benefits Unlimited had slashed or cut the Christmas budget. And so there was going to be no Christmas for the girls. And my dad's like, that's not okay. About a year before that, my dad got to buy his dream truck. It wasn't some, you know, brand new 1980 Chevy. It was a 1953 GMC or Chevy pickup. And he loved it. I think he paid $1,500 for it. It wasn't much, but he bought this truck and he just loved it. I remember riding around Pastor Barry and I, when we were kids, riding around the back of the truck and my brother and his brother. And, you know, it was a cool truck. When my dad found out that the girls were not going to have Christmas, he sold the truck and he gave them a Christmas. And he didn't announce on that Christmas, oh, hey, I sold my dream truck so you could have Christmas. He didn't do that. He told nobody. I found out later. And my dad did that at Christmas time because those girls were family. And I look at that and say, that's what Jesus did for us. He said, all of my riches, all of the inheritance of heaven is at your fingertips. All you have to do, Christian, is live in that inheritance, live in that power. So Jesus's baptism, what happened when Jesus walked on earth, was an example of what we're supposed to do. In other words, when we come to know Jesus as our Savior, we're born again. The Bible says that 242 times in the New Testament, believe, faith, trust, all the same Greek word, pisteo, which means to fully rely on. The moment we believe in Jesus, we're saved. The Holy Spirit indwells us. Our name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We're going to heaven. We have a new, fresh start, a new beginning. But Jesus got baptized. Did he need to believe in himself? No. Was he trying to fulfill some code or religious rule to get to heaven? Heck no. Jesus was the least religious person who ever lived. Jesus got baptized by John the Baptist to show us what we're supposed to do when we make a decision after we believe in Jesus. Some of you are sitting here, you've been saved for decades. We had somebody last night who'd been saved for 30 years, and she said, I never got baptized. We had Denny Macca, who came up and shared his testimony last night. It's one of the most amazing, he and his wife, Marty, incredible servants in this ministry. One of the most godly people I know, who shared that until he came to grace, he really didn't understand what it meant to live for God's purposes, and he had never been baptized. He got baptized last night. It doesn't matter how long. Matter of fact, if you are here today and you're feeling God nudging you, even as I'm speaking, we are ready to baptize you. If you didn't sign up, that's okay. As a matter of fact, when I pray here in just a few minutes, you can get up and go back to one of the corners here. There's a pastor at a table. They'll just talk to you briefly. We have clothes. We have people back there to help you, changing areas. We towels, don't worry. We got you covered, and we will baptize you. Because if you're a Christian, you need to get baptized. You know, in the same way, when you get married, you put on a wedding ring. This ring doesn't make me married. It makes people aware of the fact that I'm married. I can take this off. I'm still married. Trust me. But when I put it on, it says to everyone that I am married. In the same way, baptism doesn't make you a Christian, but it says to everybody, you are a Christian. Thousands of people watching online, you know, many who are here, now they know you're a Christian. Now, let me close with this, because I just want to share this with you briefly, and then we'll pray, and we have a special testimony from a good friend. He says in Colossians 2, through our union, with him, we have experienced circumcision of the heart. All of the guilt and power of sin has been cut away and is now extinct because of what Christ, the anointed one, has accomplished for us. Did you catch that? When Jesus died, all the sin was cut away. He says, for we've been buried with him into his death. Our baptism into death also means we were raised with him when we believed in God's resurrection power, the power that raised him from death's realm. This realm of death describes our former state, for we were held in sin's grasp, but now we've been resurrected out of that realm of death, never to return, for we are forever alive and forgiven of all our sins. He canceled out every legal violation we had on our record, and the old arrest warrant that stood to indict us. He erased it all. You might want to circle that. Our sins, our stained soul, he deleted it all, and they cannot be retrieved. When people say, well, you know, when I get to heaven, I guess we'll find out if I was good enough. No. If that's what you're waiting for, you won't go to heaven. He says, in that moment, all of your sins have been erased and paid for. Everything we once were in Adam has been placed onto his cross and nailed permanently there as a public display of cancellation. For you were included, believe it or not, in the death of Christ and have died with him to the religious system and powers of this world. You know, God is not a fan of religion. Now, don't misunderstand me. Religion, in many effects, has done some good things, but it's also done some harm. And religion can be the greatest deterrent keeping people from salvation. They think, if I go to church, give my money, read the Bible an hour a day, wow, then I am a Christian. No, you're not. You've heard the old adage that, you know, standing in your garage doesn't make you any more a car than saying going to church makes you a Christian. Truth is, it is about applying the truth. It's about being doers of the word and not hearers only. And it starts with the new birth of salvation. He says this, for example, there are strict requirements. You can't associate with that person. Ever heard a religious person say that? Oh, you can't associate with them. Or don't eat that. Or you can't touch that. These are the doctrines of men and corrupt customs that are worthless to help you spiritually. Whoa, that's in the Bible? That's in the Bible. For though they may appear to possess the promise of wisdom in their submission to God through the deprivation of their physical bodies, it is actually nothing more than empty rules rooted in religious rituals. Religion literally means, in the Latin, to bind back. People have been trying to bind themselves back to an intelligent designer since human history began, and you can't do it. So when you admit that you're powerless to save yourself and you trust in Jesus, you're born again, you're a Christian, and now you have purpose. You know, when these people come out of the water, they are coming out of the water today to say, I am coming out to worship God like never before. That's the first primary purpose. I'm on this earth to worship God. And listen, until you've been baptized Christian, this is going to shock some of you, you're living in disobedience. You're like, wait, hey, whoa, whoa, whoa. I've been a faithful giver of my money. I've been at church every weekend. I put up with you going over time every sermon. I mean, you're kidding me. No, I'm not. Until you've been baptized, you're in disobedience. God says you need to get baptized, Christian. And then when you do, you have a worship to God that goes to a completely different place. It's genuine. You know what else? They come out of the water to become more like Jesus. Those who are getting baptized have learned this through a conversation with our pastor of family care, through a class. When you come out of the water, you are saying to your church family, hold me accountable. Pray for me. I want to become more like Jesus every day. I want to worship God with a pure heart. You know what else? You come out of the water to build loving relationships with other believers. Out of the water, into the family, and now you go from spectator to participant. You know, I had a gentleman come up last night. I've watched this kid struggle for 4 years since he got out of prison. And drug addiction. And about 4 months ago, I mean, he was doing well, his wife, his beautiful little girl. And then about 4 months ago, he came up to me and I could tell he'd fallen off the wagon, smoking crack again. And he told me how easy it was for him to fall back into it. So we prayed. I actually grabbed Wes and Pastor Paul. We prayed over him. Last night he comes up. I've seen him every week, but I don't get to talk to everybody every week. And he looked amazing. He looked so healthy. And he came up and he said, I'm finally going to own my baptism. How can I serve in this ministry? I said, brother, you're there now. And here's what you're going to do. And I sent him to the Growth Connection class that my wife and I will be teaching the week after Easter. And I said, man, we are so excited. They come out of the water to build loving relationships. You know what else? Come out of the water to show compassion to those in need. To show compassion. God has called us as Christians to care for five people groups. He says the church, not the government, should care for the hungry and homeless, the sick and afflicted, widows and orphans, foreigners and immigrants, and prisoners. That's the responsibility of the church, not the government. If the church would rally together, we could rid society of these issues and care for these people. Well, that's what grace does. That's where we invest our time, talent, and treasure. And you know what else? They come out of the water to share the good news about Jesus with everyone. Now, I'm going to say something about that purpose. It's the only one of the five that we can only do here on earth. When we get to heaven, we're going to keep worshiping God. We're going to be more like Jesus. We're going to care for one another. We're going to love one another. We're going to be compassionate. But evangelism, telling people about Jesus, don't get all freaked out at that word, you know. People hear evangelist, they think about the guy on TV, give me 99.99 and you'll come to Jesus and all, you know, that. It's not that guy, okay? That's a wacko. He says, no, the moment you get to share this news, Christ died for our sins and he rose from the dead, you're an evangelist. Some people are like, man, I'm really scared to do that, but I invite people to church. Well, great. At this church, they'll hear the gospel every week. You're an evangelist. Now, guys, this means they come out of the tub with a focus of the global church. You know that there are right now 2.6 billion professing Christians on earth. In other words, they believe that Jesus died. They say they do. I mean, we only know by what they say. Only God knows their heart. But 2.6 billion people, you become part of that family. You become part of that global mission. You know what else? Our primary purpose is to preach the gospel to everyone. And preach is just another word for share. The Bible says, how can they hear without a preacher? And he's not talking about me. As a matter of fact, my role is to equip you to go out and share the gospel because you're with people every single day I'll never be with that need Jesus. Now, there's a prophecy involved in baptism. There's a prophetic promise. The gospel will be preached to all nations. And then Jesus will come. Now, that means this, very simply. Every person will have at least one opportunity to hear about Jesus. How that happens is beyond my scope of understanding, but I know it's true because God said it. You know, the potential price of this is that you'll be hated by others. I always tell people, listen, I'm so proud of you for getting baptized, but I want you to know that the moment you trust in Jesus, it's a personal decision. Life doesn't always get more difficult. It can, especially if you're the only believer in your marriage or your family or whatever. But when you get baptized, you go from being, you know, nobody in Satan's eyes to enemy number one. Because he's like, oh, this person's serious now. I'm going to have to do everything I can to ruin their life. Now, he can't take you to hell, and he can't kill you, but he can steal your joy, and he can get you off the mark, off the focus of God's purposes. So, we want to be honest with people and say, that's why you need to stay connected to your church. Guys, if you're a Christian, and this is very typical, especially for younger generations, I don't have to go to church. I don't have to go to church to go to heaven. Absolutely not. You do not have to go to church to get to heaven. But the Bible says, do not stop going to church because that is your family, and that's where you learn to live God's purposes, and that's where you get encouraged. And by the way, if you're a Christian without a church, you're an orphan without a family. And you're floating around in a society that absolutely despises God. And you're going to fall victim to it over and over and over again. And that's why we say, stay connected to the ministry and see yourself as a participant, not a spectator. So, today, we're going to celebrate a baptism. And if you are here and you really believe this is the day I want to take that stand and I want to be baptized, you don't have to say anything. Literally, as you talk to the pastors in the back corners, they'll just share a little bit with you. Just make sure you understand the gospel. And then you'll come up back here. Our staff's amazing. The volunteers, they'll help you. And then we'll baptize you. And literally during your baptism, we'll be doing worship and we'll be cheering you on. Now, guys, let me make something clear. At Grace Church, we do not believe in golf clap baptisms. Oh, good. Hallelujah. No, we get excited because people are getting baptized. We believe in Super Bowl shouts. Woo! Yes. I mean, you made the second most important decision of your life, and we are with you. So don't hold back. We want to shout out our joy for those who are getting baptized. So if you get baptized today, you'll be part of that. You know, I'll still never forget, after I came to know Jesus as my Savior, just a week later getting baptized, you know, in the Baptist church, they didn't waste any time. And so I remember going out there and, you know, the pastor's like, okay, I'm going to put my hand over your hand. You grab hold of my arm. I'll take you under and then I'll bring you out. And, you know, I was pretty fearful that he was going to hold me under an extra amount of time just because I was a little, you know, poop. And he didn't. But it was a good, amazing experience. But you know what happened after that? I really connected with the people in the ministry. And they became such an amazing family to me. and help me grow in my faith. And really, it was there that God laid on my heart the desire to start a church someday and brought that to fruition. So as we celebrate baptisms, we don't just celebrate baptisms. We celebrate transformation. If you're here and you have never been transformed by the gospel, Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says, "For by grace you've been saved through faith, and not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, so no one can boast." It's as if God walked up here, put his hands out and said, "Here's eternal life, and all you have to do is receive it." That's a gift. If a gift has a price tag attached to it, if somebody gives you a gift and then says that'll be $99.99, that's not a gift. That's what religion says. Oh, yeah, you got to believe in Jesus, but you better, and here comes the list. Did you hear what Ephesians said? What Colossians said? The list has been paid for. And you get to live by grace through faith. For God so loved the world, that's you and me, that he gave his one and only son, that's Jesus Christ, that whoever believes in him, not becomes part of a church, that whoever believes in him doesn't behave better, because you're going to have days you don't. Believes in him, doesn't become religious, believes in him, will not perish, but have everlasting life. You make that decision today, heck, you could get be born again, get baptized in the same day. So that being said, let me have you bow your heads and close your eyes. I want to ask Sam to step back. He's going to share in just a moment as we'll celebrate his baptism. And if you would like to be baptized today, in just a moment, I'm going to have you get up and go back to the back corners of the auditorium, either one, and just chat with the pastor real quick, and we'll baptize you. Before I do, I want to give those who are here an opportunity to trust in Jesus and those watching online. Maybe for you, today it clicked. Today you realized, I'm not saved by what I do. I'm saved by what Jesus did. Then right where you sit, just talk to God silently in your mind and say something like this: God, I'm a sinner. I admit it. I've done things wrong. But I believe that Jesus Christ died for me. And right now, I trust in him alone to save me. Thank you, God. Friend, not because of a prayer, not raising a hand or walking an aisle, but because you put your trust in Jesus, you're saved. His spirit lives in you. You're going to heaven. Not because of what I say, because of what he said. And I want to pray for you. In a moment, I am going to have you raise your hand and put it right back down. That just tells me you got it. I just want to celebrate anonymously who you are. So if you're saying this morning, I received the free gift of salvation, I'm trusting in Jesus, would you slip your hand up? God bless you guys. Thank you. God bless you. Wow. Praise God. Man, you guys have to know you just made our morning. So thankful. Welcome to the family of God. You know what, Grace, we are committed to helping those who come to know Jesus grow in their faith. And I told you, we wouldn't embarrass you, so we give you the complete choice. But I would encourage you, we have a little simple system. Just text the word BELIEVE to 313131. Just text the word BELIEVE to 313131. Pastor Scott will call you this week. We have a gift for you, a new Bible. We want to welcome you to the family of God. We want to give you all the resources necessary to grow in your faith. So welcome to the family of God. If you're here and you're deciding to get baptized this morning, go ahead and get up. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to pray in a moment. Go ahead and get out of your seat. Step back to one of the corners here. Talk briefly to a pastor real fast, and then we will baptize you while we're doing worship. So just go ahead now, step out of your seats, and I'm going to pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that regardless of how many get baptized, we get to celebrate transformation. Lord, we're so grateful that in this ministry, you have given us the freedom to preach the word, teach the word, and see you change lives. Lord, I pray for those getting baptized today, those that got baptized last night, that they would understand they are now not only part of your body, that happened at salvation, but they're part of your purposes, and they get to live that global calling. Lord, we love you, and we thank you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, as we prepare for some other baptisms, I just want to say that about 2 months ago, I had time to sit down with Sam Porter. You know, the Porter family, just amazing. Every single one of them. I know Mr. and Mrs. Porter are here today. You guys did a phenomenal job. And their sons and daughters are just extraordinary people. And I got to sit down with Sammy. I've had the privilege over the years of really being with all the most of the kids. And, you know, we just shared. He shared some things on his heart. And when I saw that he had chosen today to get baptized, I said, Sam, would you mind just sharing a little bit of your story? And so I'm going to ask Sammy to come up and share his story. Would you welcome Sam Porter to the stage? Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it, man. Love you.
Hello, good morning, everybody. My name is Samuel, and I'm just going to share a quick story here. This is my testimony, just kind of my life and coming to Jesus and leading me to this moment to make this decision. So my testimony really involves God, who has continually reached out to me, his hand in grace, to me no matter what, despite all the horrible decisions I've made. Any horrible sins I've done throughout my life. I don't have really a crazy story of one single moment or getting struck by lightning or a dream or anything like that. It's really just an evolution of my life. When I was born, I was actually not really supposed to live. I was 8 weeks premature and on failure to thrive. My mom, my parents, thank you all for being here for this moment. They prayed faithfully for 3 days for me to live. And my name, Samuel, is asked of God. And I think that's really a testimony to my life. And I've always known that God has had a plan for me from the start. At 13 years old, I made a testimony of a profession of faith in a church and grew up in the church my whole life. And I think since that moment, I think Rick kind of alluded to it, is once you accept Christ, he really looks to attack you in all sorts of ways. And I really experienced that a lot. I was an athlete my whole life. I had a lot of early success in high school as a basketball player. And that kind of just became my identity. Leading into college, went to Metro State, played basketball there, had all sorts of successes, Elite Eights, Final Fours, National Championship runner-up 1 year. Had really amazing experiences, career professional pilot. I mean, life sounds really good from the outside looking in, but I was really hurting a lot through all that time, and excuse me, sorry. I think through all that time, God loved me no matter what, and this series has really impacted my life greatly, the love no matter what, and I've really just experienced that my whole life. Like I said, from the outside looking in, my life is great. Athlete, soon to be a professional pilot, beautiful wife over here. But I think that internally I was really struggling and really dealt with a lot of stuff. And I'm pretty sure I told a friend of mine once I'll take my faith seriously once I get out of college. I want to get mine first and just experience, you know, the pleasures that really meet, you know, my own God was me, was my athleticism, was my career, and that was my entire identity. And it was all fleeting, it was all broken, and now bring it to this point here. I think I've experienced God through all that, through all the decisions I've made. I just remember multiple times, I mean, crying myself to sleep in a bathtub. Just just after all the horrible decisions I've made, and I think God just really spoke to me so many times through my life, and like I said, it wasn't just one moment, it was time and time again of God just saying, here's my hand, take it when you're willing and when you're able. And like Rick said, this isn't that time now. If I've accepted Christ and I've known I've been saved, but this is a really exciting time to now take that next step in following Christ. I could go down the list of each of the commandments, and I broke it. And each time I could hear God saying, I still love you. Getting a little off script here, so I apologize, but I don't have an amazing story. I've just really experienced so much more love and acceptance here in this church and this body than I've ever experienced in my life. And this is coming from a church kid, grew up in the church my entire life, and Rick and the whole staff here is just absolutely incredible. They've accepted me. I've gone to Rick with difficult challenges in my life, and he's always opened me with open arms, and I'm just absolutely thrilled to hop out of that tub in a few minutes and just scream, because I'm ready to do this. I'm ready to take the next step and follow Christ and just see wherever it goes. So thank you, guys.
So good, man. Thank you, buddy. That was awesome.
Thank you so much. I'm proud of you, man.
Man, Sam and Brandy are just such a beautiful couple. And you know, I think that is evident sometimes, that we look at people from the outside or we see their accomplishments, but we don't know the hurt. We don't know what's behind the eyes of each, you know, individual in our ministry and in our community. And when you hear that, you know, I know what Sam's talking about. And you do too, because James 2:10 says, if you violate one commandment, you've broken them all. And that's why grace, God's grace, is so powerful. And it's the only thing that really restores. And I believe that Sam and Brandy are not only going to step forward, but they're going to be primary leaders in this ministry to really lead us into the next 30 years and beyond. And I'm so proud to just have a small part in that, in sharing with him and his beautiful wife. So let's celebrate as Sam Porter gets baptized today. You know, we have one or two, maybe more, that will be baptized during worship. And when we're in the middle of singing, listen, shout out, scream out, just as you did there during worship. I was talking to Pastor Jason downstairs. He goes, you know, it's so cool when you're in the middle of a song, you don't know who's getting baptized, and all of a sudden right in the middle, there's just this shout of joy and praise. And, you know, God is good with that. He loves it. And so let's stand and let's worship, you know, what God is doing in Sam and Brandy's life and what he's doing in others' lives. And I'll be back in a moment. We're going to sing a couple worship songs.
Everything's alright. by your power, the oceans open wide, your fire falls down, heaven and earth collide. Keep Jesus forever by my side. Oh, shake the mountains and break the walls apart. Open the heavens, Almighty God, you are.
Mountains are moved by God. And we just have the faith of a mustard seed. Now, I want you to know that just even watching Jason Reed get baptized there just a moment ago. You know, Jason came to this ministry many years ago from Texas. And, man, he has been such a strong, powerful leader. And he's even taught in our classes with Pastor Mark. And, you know, he'd never taken this step. And he chose today to make it even more public. You know, and behind each of these stories of these two men and the nine last night and the many in the next two services, we have tools in the hands of the Master. And God's going to do something great. And I pray that you will lift them up. You'll be here to encourage them, to support them. And I want you to know something. As a ministry, everything that we do is centered around making an impact locally and globally. We believe that what the Lord is doing through this ministry is a revolution of love. You know, as we've been talking about these very difficult issues, I want you to know something. We can't do what we do without every single person who calls Grace home participating. You know, if you're a guest with us, this is your first time, or you're watching online, I just want you to know we don't pass an offering plate, okay? We don't want anything from you. We want to give to you. But if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you're part of this ministry. And I've heard people sometimes, well, I've been coming for a few years, but I'm not a member. You're a member. You eat at the table, you're a member. And we can't do what we do in reaching the lost, in impacting lives through the 52 ministries. Just wrap your mind around that. That find all of their vision, all of their support, all of their pastoral care, all of the staff care from us. I'm looking at our missionary couple, Doug and Blanca, as they are faithfully executing the purposes of God in the Amazon while she's fighting cancer. I mean, I looked at the picture last night and she's lost all her hair. She's not feeling well, and yet they don't complain. They just keep doing what they do for Jesus. They're our full-time staff. We have 8 full-time Shall We staff. And guys, we can't keep doing what we do until every person that calls this church home says, I believe there's going to be a breakthrough, and it's going to start with me, my time, my finances, and my talents and gifts. So as you give, you are not giving to me. You're not giving to a church. You're giving through a ministry to make a global impact. We made a decision this year that we would reach for something that is mind-blowing. And you know what? For a ministry our size, many churches this size with the, you know, country club mentality scoff at how little we take in as a ministry and how much we spend to care for people. So this year, we set a goal for $4.2 million so at the end of the year, we could care for countless families. I mentioned a woman whose husband died in Afghanistan, has four children. We could pay off her debts. And we've looked at this and said, the only way that's possible is if every person gives. We have offering boxes. You can give online. You can give through the mobile app. But I want to challenge you to do it now, not to wait. And as you do this, know you're bringing a breakthrough. You're bringing a transformation in the lives of the people you saw this morning, the two men, the nine last night, the many more, 20 or so, probably 20 to 40 more in the next two services. But it can't be done. It cannot be done without the faithfulness of every single person in this ministry. And so make that your commitment. As we worship now, remember that your worship in giving is just as necessary. And let's lift the Lord up, Jason, Pastor Jason, with one more song before we close.
We're going to sing a song called Praise the King together right now. And I just want to encourage you as you sing this song to allow these words to speak for your heart. Allow these words to speak on behalf of how you feel about the Lord. And we just praise Jesus and thank Jesus for all that he's done because he's the reason that we have services like today's service where we get to celebrate life change. There's nothing better. So let's sing this together. Runs from light. There's a reason why we stand here now, forgive. Jesus is alive. Amen. There's a reason why we are not overtaken. There's a reason why we sing on through. The King, He is risen. Praise the King, He is alive. Praise the King, death's defeated. Hallelujah, is alive. Hallelujah, is alive. So much for being here to celebrate with us. I invite you, if you're not doing anything else, hang around, come to more services and celebrate lives changed. Thank you so much. God bless you. Take care. We'll see you next week.